My name is Tessa Smith, and I am 21 years old. Today is March 22nd, 2019, and I'm speaking with Vicky Mae Mason and Don
Olin
Oliver. Mason, whoops. Okay. You'll not be able to. Oh, no. We can keep talking. Okay. So now we're good.
Okay. Well, I think Tessa wants me to tell the story about when we got married, which was in December of 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us have been married, previous marriages.
Right.
And I had a 68 Firebird, Pontiac Firebird. You probably don't even know what a Firebird is.
Okay. You do?
And you had a green Plymouth, but I can't remember what the year was. But mm-hmm. Neither of these cars were very good, okay? And so we decided my car was probably the car that, if we were going to take a trip after our honeymoon, would be the one that we would take.
Right.
So we got married at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and our destination was going to be Nashville because we liked country music at that time. Still do somewhat, but anyway.
Yeah.
So after we got married at 10 o'clock, and there were just a few people at our wedding, my mother.
Right.
Don's secretary. My two children, uh-huh. Randy and Robin, and the preacher. Mm-hmm. Was there anybody else? Oh, and of course, the girl that stood up with me and the guy that stood up with him.
Right.
So we're anxious. There was no party afterwards or dinner or luncheon or anything. It was
right.
We're off to Nashville. My mom was to keep the two kids. So in those days, you didn't have GPS and you didn't have Google Maps or anything like that. You
right.
had a map that unfolded.
Yeah, across the whole car that you can't refold.
So we headed for St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
Because now we're going to go for Nashville. So we're headed towards St. Louis. And somewhere between here and St. Louis, where there's a patrol station,
uh-huh.
a patrol station, the car's not making it up one of the rise, one of the hills.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of cutting out, whatever. So we pulled in there. We asked the trooper where is some place that we could get the car worked on because it's not obviously not running right.
Right.
So he said, well, if you can make it to Wentzville on the east side of the, or excuse me, on the south side of the road, there'd be a such and such garage. So we made it there. And we pulled in and we told them that we were on our honeymoon and that what the car was doing. So he put it up on the rack and I'm standing there in the hallway there waiting, and they take it down off the lift, and they come back, and Don comes back, and he gets in the car, and he starts and heads down the highway, and I said, well, where are we going? And he said, well, the guy said, you better head for home, because you're not connecting on all cylinders.
Oh, no.
But he said, I had him put in a new set of spark plugs for the whole car. And we looked at each other, we're still going, and he just told us to head for home because, you know, we might not make it.
We were bulletproof.
Yeah, back in those days, we were young and we were bulletproof. And, you know, we could do this.
Mm-hmm.
So we head out on the highway, and of course, my heart's still kind of, but anyway, so now we're on south of St. Louis on a road by the map.
Uh-huh.
And we're getting down close to the point where we want to close, so it goes over to Tennessee.
Right.
It's pretty far south.
Well,
right.
Illinois first, wasn't it? Okay.
Anyway, yes, Tennessee, as I remember.
Grandpa can have a turn next to add amendments.
So we turn on this road by me navigating, and we pull up to the Mississippi River, and there's no bridge.
Oh.
There's no bridge. How are we going to get across the Mississippi River? So we're sitting there looking, and then we see this ferry coming across the river. A ferry. So Not everybody does. So we wouldn't turn the car off because we were afraid it might not start again. So
right.
We left it running. Well, eventually the ferry made it over, and yes, so many dollars to fire the ferry. And we were the only car, and then there was an 18-wheeler on this ferry. Little balance. took about 20 minutes, 25 minutes for us to cross on this ferry across the Mississippi. And we get into Tennessee. We're starting to see, we've never seen cotton growing before, ever.
Right.
And we're seeing the, of course, they've already picked it by December, but there's still little pieces of it that blow around from the bolts and everything. And it almost looks like it's snowing.
Oh,
I remember that. So we get to Nashville. Okay, now we've shut the car off because we're in Nashville. Right? We're at the Grand Ole Opry. We're too late for the first show, but we're okay for the 9 o'clock show. So we get our tickets, and we have, it's a really good show. We see a lot of the people that are not even living anymore. I mean, they're passed on and everything. It was really great. So then we have to find a motel, and so we find a Holiday Inn. And back in the day, Holiday Inn was like your Hilton or someplace, or Marriott.
Right.
So we go there, and we get a room. And so the next morning when we come out, we're going to go to Memphis. We're just going to see the sights around Nashville and Memphis. So
right.
We go out, we get ready to get in my Firebird, and the side of this car is mashed in.
Oh, gosh.
There's been a party there the night before,
and
somebody hit our car and did not leave us a note or anything. So I went in and asked at the desk if anybody turned in that they'd hit our car.
Right.
And, of course, they didn't feel any... It's a public, you know, parking lot, and they didn't feel any
liability.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So now I'm crying because, okay, my car's not really running right, and the side of it's crushed in. We could still make the door work, but it's got these big dents.
Right.
So Don's driving, and we get out onto a rather major road, and there's a stoplight. And I'm still crying because we've got two things wrong now. We pull up behind this flatbed trailer. It has nothing on it. Cab flatbed trailer. And he had pulled too far out into the intersection.
Uh-huh.
So he's backing up. But he can't back up because we're sitting right behind him.
But he does back up.
And he backs right over the top of our hood and makes it like an accordion. And for a little bit, we thought maybe we might get beheaded.
Right.
He keeps coming, and Don doesn't know the car that well because it's my car.
Right.
And so he's trying to find the horn and everything else.
Right.
And then finally, I guess the guy feels the pressure behind him that he's backing in on something
gosh.
He shouldn't be. Now I'm really crying.
I forgot how bad this was.
She cried a lot on that.
Forgot how many things happened.
So this guy gets out of his truck, and we get out, of course, and and... No, again, no cell phones to call.
Right.
And actually, I don't remember how. There might have been a store or something, and we get over and call because we both pull over. And so the officer finally gets there, and, let me see your driver's license. Well, in those days, Don didn't carry a wallet. He would just stuff his cash and his change in his pocket.
Right.
He didn't like to carry a wallet because that was too big a bulge in the back of his pants, right, back there. It was uncomfortable. So he did not have his driver's license with him. So took the name of us and the guy that did this, and the guy's begging us, don't turn this in. I'm working, and if I get one more demerit, you know, I'll get fired from my job.
Right.
Don't file. Well, the guy says, we have to produce $500 bond because Don doesn't have a driver's license. He has one, but not with him.
Right.
So then we were faced with, we don't have $500 to put together everything we had.
If we were home,
we didn't have $500. So we had to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
He promised to pay, and he gave us his name and address if we'd get three bids on what it cost to fix the hood. He would pay.
Right.
Okay. That's a long story, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Anyway, so now we're looking for a coat hanger to wire the hood down. I mean, because it's like a crinkled accordion, but
right.
You got to have something to hold it down.
Right.
So the policeman, somehow he came up with a, so then I asked him, what way do you get out of this town? Pardon me. So this was in Memphis, wasn't it? Yes. The first wreck happened in Nashville, but this happened in Memphis. So now we got to cross the, he said, the bridge is right over there, ma'am. So anyway, no, that was the same day.
That was the same day.
But we did go by Elvis's place and just wait. Well, we didn't stop because our car was smashed in. It wouldn't run, and it had the good.
You don't dare turn the car off.
I was embarrassed to go by there, you know. But we did go to Memphis. Evidently, it would start then every time that we tried to start it.
Wow.
So, but we looked kind of odd, you know. We looked like the Beverly Hillbillies, you know. But anyway, so we headed for his sister's house in Missouri, and we spent some time visiting her and then on home. So I think we were gone about a total of 4 days because we were both still working and had to get back to my children. And
right.
But anyway, that's the story of our honeymoon.
When we got back to Mexico, we had a car worked on.
Right.
Because it's all boogered up and everything.
Right.
And the cheapest way to do that was let the high school do it.
Or the in technical school,
right?
They did auto mechanics and the auto body.
Let the students try it,
right?
Yeah.
And Vicki had something like 80 stickers. Tell them what.
Well, back in the day, you get these out of gumball machines, like magnetic things,
uh-huh.
And they could be cartoons, or they could, you know, so you just pictured your dash with all those on there.
Right.
So all those came up missing. Anyway, they kept our car for 3 weeks.
Okay.
And they would work on it. And actually, it was just, there was no labor involved. It was just the parts that it took to fix it. And actually, we got by pretty cheap for having it fixed, really.
Right.
And then it wasn't too long after that we traded that car off. But I did want to tell you that the fellow down in Memphis that hit us, that was a false address.
But, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. We went and got 3 estimates, and we sent it to him, and it came back to us undeliverable.
Oh, my gosh.
So he lied.
Oh, my goodness.
Now that's the end of the story.
What a wild ride.
Right.
Grandpa, do you want to tell the story about Mom joining chess club?
Well, we tried to be kind of careful with her. Wanted to be sure she was a really good girl.
Right.
And we didn't want anything to go wrong.
Right.
And so we kind of kept a close eye on her,
uh-huh.
And watched who she was with and where she was going and all that. And one day, I think we had supper and she still hadn't shown up, and we're beginning to get worried.
Right.
What in the world's going on?
Right.
And so I'm getting a little bit miffed.
Right.
And mad, in other words.
Right.
And then finally she shows up. And so I asked her, where in the heck have you been? And she said, well, I thought I told you we're starting a chess club at high school, and I'm one of the people that started it.
Right.
So that's what she was doing.
Right.
And you shouldn't get mad.
Other things because
yeah.
Anyway,
you're like, there's a boy involved. What's going on?
Right. There's something going on here that we. But anyway, that. And then did we tell you about the day she skipped school?
No.
You haven't heard this one?
I haven't heard that she skipped school.
Second grade.
Oh. What'd she do?
Well, she'll probably kill me for doing this.
I can't wait to hear the story.
Well, she played with a girl that was considerably older across the street, and
uh-huh.
I can't even think of her name. We lived on Concordia at that time, and right across the street on, what is that road? Curtis, I guess it is. I think that girl was either 1 or 2. I know she was at least 1 grade, and she may have been 2 grades ahead. Well,
right.
They played together a lot. So anyway, one day they called me at work, where I was working, and said, Amy's not in school today. Is she sick? And we said, no, she should be there. And I called Don, and he didn't know anything had happened.
Oh, no. So, you're like, where's my kid?
So we're thinking, oh, my goodness, something's happened. But we lived right. So close to the school that she could just walk to Hawthorne.
Right.
I mean, we were just half a block.
Right.
So when I leave for work, you know, she just went on right on to school.
Right.
So I come... Did we both come? I think both came driving home at the same time, and I guess the girls heard us, and they went and hid in the closet. And we're looking all over the house. and opened the door, and here they're both standing in there. But we really didn't blame Amy too much. We figured it was the older girl, and
yeah,
influenced her to do that. So,
right.
Really,
oh, goodness.
But I was so embarrassed. Oh, my, I was so embarrassed. My kids get to school in the second grade.
You're like, where's this going?
Yeah, where's this going to?
Oh, no.
So.
Yeah, Mom always points out the deck that Grandpa and she built when we passed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll tell you another thing about Amy. When she was 10, we decided that we wanted to go to Hawaii. That was one of our bucket list things to do, so mm-hmm. was Hawaii. And the other two kids had grown up and either were working or married or something. So, because there's quite an age difference between Amy and her
right.
siblings.
Yeah.
So, we booked a trip to go to Hawaii, and Amy was 10 years old at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a lot of the things, the beach and all those fun things to do. But there was one nightclub that we really wanted to go to that you couldn't take a child to.
Right.
It wasn't appropriate. And so that was on a Saturday night. So the plan was to order a pizza for her. And she can watch TV. We were on the 29th floor of this hotel.
Wow, 29th floor. Oh, wow.
And we'd even, the first day we got there, of course, there's a four-hour lag time in your time, and
right.
you're totally off on your thinking,
yeah.
you know, and the way you feel. We opened the windows, because they had some windows that you just opened, and we had got a bag of Doritos, and we had them on the bed, and a bird came in, started eating our Doritos. I guess it was some sort of a pigeon or a dove or something.
Something, yeah.
But we were having one heck of a thing watching us. Just walking around on our bed.
The floor
we were on. 29th floor. And we'd always heard, don't ever stay any floor above the 9th floor because your hook and ladder trucks can only meet the 9th floor.
Uh-huh.
So they're not going to meet the 29th floor. So that's on my mind, you know, that
right.
here we are, clear up in there. Well, anyway, we decided we'd go to this nightclub, and we get her a pizza. She could watch TV, and you don't open the door for anybody.
Right.
And don't answer, you know, we may call you a time or two. Again, no cell phones, you know.
Yeah. Right.
We'll call you. We'll find a phone there, and we'll check on you.
Right.
So I did. I checked with her, I know, at least once, if not twice, because this program was about 2.5 hours long.
Right.
It was a dinner, and they gave you a lay, you know, and all
right.
that stuff. It was really cool. And so... finally, it's time to come home. We had rented a car, by the way. We
right.
drove to it. And we came back and got the car parked. And so we go up to the 29th floor. And for some reason, we didn't have a key. She was locked in there. She was going to let us in.
Right.
So we're beating on the door. Nicely beating on the door.
Then we were beating on
then
the door.
Then we were beating on the door. Had you heard this one before?
No.
Then we're pounding on the door, and we're afraid we're going to wake other people up in the hallway, because it's probably 11:30
right.
or something at night. Because I don't think the thing started till 8, so it was pretty late at night.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, we're getting really worried now that she's gone out in the hall and somebody's abducted her or something.
Right.
So, one very long, after beating on in the door, one of the people that works there, it was a man, it wasn't a woman, came by and said, are you having trouble? And we said, well, our daughter, told her to lock the door, but she's not answering, and we can't get her to answer.
Right.
And we're just wondering, would she go to a phone and try calling her from inside the hotel?
Right.
He said, well, I have a key. So he had a key, and we opened it up, and she was just in bed asleep. She never heard us beating on the door or anything. So,
to be a kid and sleep like that.
that was really scary time.
Oh, man.
Because here we are. All
but it's always way. Like she's inadvertently scaring you and not on purpose.
Right.
At the club, she left you a message, right. and this time she's just asleep.
Yeah, she's doing right.
She doesn't mean to scare
we're
you guys.
She's got this way out there concern. You know?
Well, the older you get, the more you realize things that can happen,
yeah.
they do happen.
And you see it. You know?
Right, you get more nervous. You're not bulletproof anymore. You're
right, right.
So, then I want to tell you about Amy, about her arm. Have you heard the story of her arm?
No. I think she broke it, right? But
in her elbow.
Right.
So she was 5, and she was going to a daycare. I was working at Wetterau at the time, and she was going to a little daycare that was just about 2 blocks from there called Noah's Ark. It was in the basement
mm-hmm.
of a church. It was very convenient to me to get over there and pick her up and take her each day. And so they
yeah,
called me.
Playground.
They had a playground.
Okay.
With a normal playground equipment.
Right.
And so they called me and said Amy had fell off of the, you know, the middle bar on the swing set. She'd been sitting up on there.
Right.
She fell off of it. Ooh. And she fell on her elbow.
Oh.
And she's crying and everything. So I go pick her up and we take her to the emergency room. And they x-rayed her and they said it was broken a couple of places in the elbow.
Oh, wow.
So they needed a orthopedic doctor to look this over.
Right.
So, pardon me, they determined that she would need some surgery. And so she's just 5, and of course she's scared, and
right.
We are too. So they had her in some sort of a baby bed, as I remember it, in the pediatric floor. And they had her arms stuck through the bars, and they had 6 pounds of weight because they were putting pressure on it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They were trying to hold this together.
Wow.
Because the doctor told us if they didn't get this all lined up right, there's a growth plate right in your elbow.
Oh.
If you didn't line it up just right, then her arm would never grow any bigger than it was at 5 years old.
Right, that's an issue. Yeah.
And I don't think she can do this.
Oh, she can't.
Without having a little.
Oh. Yeah, I have that, but it's different reason.
Right. So she was in there having this weight on her for 6 days.
Oh, my goodness.
They had a TV here, and you could watch cartoons and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But we took turns of staying with her, and I'm a person that needs a lot of sleep. I would stay there maybe till 2 o'clock, and then Dawn would come at 2 and watch her till morning.
Right.
And then we'd switch off that way.
Right.
And we'd bring in bubbles. We did everything we could think of to keep her happy. And, you know. And
right.
Because she's just 5, and she's
right.
got one arm where she can't even do anything but be on her back.
Isn't that the time she kept?
Well, I'm going to tell that in just a minute. You're getting ahead of me.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. So, anyway, finally, I think she actually had 2 surgeries on that before it was all said and done. Because she's got a hole here. You may notice a scar there and then one here.
Gotcha.
Or they had the weights on it. So we bring her home. And the very first night we get home, she cries all night long. And I'm not kidding, not 15 minutes or an hour. It was all night long.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
She's got a cast here, but she's pulling on her thumb and crying. Oh, and nothing we could do, aspirin or nothing like that, touched it. And they
right.
didn't send us home with any pain medication.
Right.
And we just were weary because we don't know why she just keeps pulling on her thumb.
Right.
Well, the very next day, then we find out that probably a nerve is dying in this area. And until that dies off, she's going to have that pain. So he did give us something that she didn't have to suffer with it. So.
Right.
Well, eventually, because we were going to go on a trip, and this had happened,
right.
we were going to go to California in June, and this is a trip that Eric, Amy, and Robin went. Randy had a job, and he wasn't going to go with us, so
right.
we were going to drive to California, but we had to wait till Amy was better with her arm,
right.
so we waited 2 months, we waited till August to go.
Gotcha.
So, we go out to California, and I have cousins that live in Northern and Southern California. We're going to Northern California. So we're having the best trip, and everything's going fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to do something that kids can't do, which was
right.
go over to the casino,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
At Reno. So my cousin had somebody lined up to watch the kids while us 4 went over to Reno
right.
for an evening of dinner and a little gambling. So while we're over there, I don't know how they got a hold of Dixie, but evidently they knew where she usually went to play or something. Anyway, we get this call that your daughter, Amy, has fallen on her elbow again.
Oh, no.
And so now they're at the emergency room. And she was walking a dog, and she tripped over the chain and fell on her arm.
Oh, my goodness.
And of course, she told them all about how she had hurt it and everything. So we stayed on the phone 30 minutes while they x-rayed her and to see if everything was going to be okay.
Right.
So we held on the phone for 30 minutes, and then immediately we're going to leave just as soon as we know what they say.
Right.
We're going to come on home. And they told us that somebody had done a very nice job of lining it all up, and it looked really good.
Oh, good.
And no, she hadn't hurt it any further. So
oh,
that
goodness.
Was good news.
Yeah.
So then... So now the next thing is the church is all upset with us because they figure we're going to sue them. Because 6 days in the hospital is quite an expense. Of course, we had insurance with Don's work.
Right.
But they told us they didn't know it, but they only had $1,000 insurance, and they were worried that we were going to sue them. And we decided, no, we're not going to sue a church, you know.
Right.
It wasn't their fault, really. I mean,
right.
It was something she did.
Just kids, yeah.
Right. So they changed their insurance policy. they started this daycare without really checking into their insurance. Do you see
they realized
had.
Too late that they didn't have the right type of insurance.
Right. So that's what happened to that.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
Everything worked out there.
Can you imagine if she hurt her elbow again? Oh, no.
So, do you want to tell the one about Momo Monster?
I haven't heard that one either.
Well, that's not on her. That's on
us. Well, she said it could be anything.
Yeah, it's anything. We can tell embarrassing stories about Robin and Randy, too.
We decided to go camping.
Uh-huh.
On the Elk Fork of over by Paris. And I knew some places where you could usually catch some fish.
Uh-huh.
And so we set up a tent and we started a fire outside, and then we decided we'd bait some limb lines.
Uh-huh.
In the river.
And this is not at a campground. This is just camping
in the wild.
The, right. Okay.
Yeah. And so anyway, we had your dad's
John boat.
He loaned us his John boat. And so we go what was down the river,
mm-hmm.
and we're every little bit we'll put another line and a bait hook and put it in the water.
Right.
And I don't know how far we went. Seemed like
quite a ways, didn't it?
Seemed like 30 miles, but it was probably about a mile and a half or
right.
2 miles at the most. And there was lots of riffles on this. You know, it's just one pool of water and then a little riffle and then another pool.
Right.
And so we got it all baited up, and we're going to run them the next morning.
Right. Did you tell that we had to get out a couple of times and lift the boat up over the ripple? Because going down the stream, while we were dragging the bottom with our boat, and so we couldn't, we had to get out of the boat and lift it over to the next pool of water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then it's time to go back to camp.
Right.
Because we got our tent all set up and everything. So anyway, we start back what's up the river to get back to where we started, and we hadn't gone very far at all. Yeah, it got pretty darn dark, and then it's real still at night and a little bit scary.
Right, yeah.
And all of a sudden I heard what sounded like a .22 rifle way off in the distance.
Oof.
And that made me think, what in the world was that? And about that time, a tree actually fell just over
the bank
from where we were at.
Wow.
And this was a period of time when in this area, people were worried about Momo. It was some kind of monster.
Kind of like your, what's the monster,
a local legend.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Anyway, we got a little scared.
Yeah.
In fact, I think we got a lot of scared because we went back up the river in this canoe,
uh-huh.
and we John boat, and we didn't have to get out once, I think. We went right on through the canoe.
Well, that was the dream.
I think Vicki was paddling a lot harder than she did going down.
But this begs the question, if you're ever asked, does a tree make a noise when it falls in the woods? Yes.
That's a really loud noise.
Yes, it makes a very loud noise. But again, it was kind of eerie because
it's just dark.
They call yetis or something out in
or like Bigfoot and all that sort of stuff.
This is back in the 70s when this was
right.
all really a big legend thing. And then
yeah.
Missouri had what was called the Momo Monster. Okay. Somebody had seen something. So that's the story about that.
And the next morning, we had had a fire the night before, and it was
right.
just a few little coals there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cold. And so I got up out of the tent, and I'm going out trying to get the fire going again.
Uh-huh.
I think I got it going, didn't I, or did I? Anyway, right in the middle of it, Vicki comes kind of crawling out of the tent. She, what was you said?
I said, call an ambulance.
What?
Because I'm so stiff.
Oh!
I stove up from sleeping.
Oh, no.
We never had enough for all the fancy camping equipment.
Right.
And we always just slept on the ground. I mean,
yeah.
Eventually we went to air mattresses, and they were $1 a piece, and those things didn't stay up at all, you know.
That's luxe considered, you know, next to the ground.
If you're lucky, you could get to sleep while it's still up.
Still up.
But the next morning, they were never up.
Right.
Well, those are the stories that I had in mind. Can you think of any else you want?
Well, I also wanted to ask you guys, I think it'd be interesting, like, what do you remember about growing up? Or, like, what do you remember about your parents or favorite memories growing up?
Well, I was born in Mexico here.
Yeah.
And lived on Wade Street. And the house is still standing today, but it's in horrible, horrible shape.
Right.
I almost wish they'd tear it down. But my mom was right at 40 when she had me, and my dad was a year younger. He was 39. I think maybe I was an accident.
Right. Okay.
My sister is 13 years older than me, and my brother is 11 years older.
Right.
And so Don and I have talked about this before, but my first memory is like when I was about 3. I don't remember anything before that. I don't know if you guys do.
No, I think that's kind of normal to not remember your first couple years.
But I remember being in the hallway there by the front door, and my aunt and uncle pulled in the driveway, and I ran in. Aunt Nellie and Uncle Harrison are here. And that's really about my first memory, is I was excited that they had come by.
Right. That's cool, though.
My dad did a lot of things during his life. His mother died when he was 11.
Yeah.
So I think only went through like the 5th or 6th grade. I mean, he didn't even have an 8th grade education.
Right.
So he had to do manual types of jobs. But he, over time, he was a policeman. And he actually rode a motorcycle.
He was a motorcycle cop.
Right.
Okay.
He worked at the shoe factory. He worked at a appliance store where they installed washer and dryers and put television antennas. That's the day of the antenna on the roof and everything.
Right.
And my mom was always she did a few things, but mostly she was a stay-at-home mom. And she did some babysitting and alterations of clothing.
Yeah, she was like a seamstress, wasn't
right,
she?
Right, she was.
Right.
And she didn't charge way enough.
Yeah.
But we always had enough to eat, but we were never wealthy or anything like that.
Right.
Not at all. And so,
humble beginnings, and now here you are.
Yeah. So Don has a little bit different story. He was raised on a farm.
Which is the best thing that could happen to any kid.
Yeah.
Because when you're old enough to walk, you're old enough to help.
Right.
On the farm. And my mother took care of the garden.
Uh-huh.
And her and I would, you know, be up there hoeing. We'd go down and take a row, and she'd take a row, and we'd get the two sides.
Right.
As we went down the length of the garden.
This is a big garden, Alex. A real big
which
I mean,
is quite a long
like
ways.
Yeah.
And one of my fondest memories, we'd get to the other end, and my mother would put the hole in the handle down and put her hands over the hole part itself.
Uh-huh.
And she'd do this and look back up the row, because the weeds are all gone now.
Uh-huh. Just rest your
and
chin.
And she said, "Isn't that beautiful?"
Oh, that's really cool.
And
just looking at how neat it was after all that work.
All the work. That is gone.
Yeah. I mean, it is really nice to see, like, what you've done when you're done with it. Yeah.
And I think he started age 7 riding a tractor.
You did, Grandpa?
Helping out with the farming and everything. And he was always telling me, and he just told me this recently, that his two older brothers got the fun jobs, and he and his dad got to scooping out the chicken coop for the manure.
Well,
I called it, they had play work, and Dad and I had
work. Yeah.
We had to load the manure in the spreader, and they'd go out and spread it.
Right.
So they're riding around on the tractor.
I also wanted to know, so I know that, Grandpa, you went to college, and you were close to graduating, but you never quite did. You had never really needed to.
No, I wasn't real close to graduating.
You weren't?
I just went
2 years.
Year to Mobile
Junior
College.
Yeah, but you had enough credits to get 2 years to get an associate's degree. So
what were you, like, when you went to college, what did you think you were going to do? Like, what, did you go in for something specific, or?
No, I didn't. I would like to have finished, gone on to college and finished.
Right.
And, of course, there wasn't any money to,
right,
to do that. And I worked for, prior to this time, when I got out of high school, all of the work I did was on the farm.
Right.
But then, at about that time, when I got out of high school, I got a job, had a couple jobs. One of them was driving a bulk truck delivering fuel oil to
farmers.
And that's when I got the idea, well, I can make some money and go on to college.
Right.
So I worked at that, and it's
sawmill.
Amazing.
Sawmill? You did a sawmill?
Yeah,
for a while.
Worked at the sawmill. Well, that was while I was at college in Mobley, during college. And there was my cousin, Huey, and another, two other guys. We rented, and I don't even remember their names. But one of them worked at the sawmill with me, and we rented this little a trailer house and lived there. And I was going to go on, you know, make enough money to go a second year in college.
Right.
Never made enough money.
Well, there's the problem, I guess. Yeah.
And that kind of ended that.
Yeah.
Well, then you went to work for AP Green.
Yeah.
But then you got drafted.
Oh. So then you went back to AP Green after you came back home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you, in those days, you got guaranteed a job back after you came back from the service.
Oh, that's nice.
And so, yes, they had to take you back.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask, how did you guys meet? Because I've never heard that story either.
Well, we met at AP Green.
Really? I didn't know you were for AP Green, too.
That's
yes,
enough
I
said about that.
I ran the switchboard and the teletype.
Oh.
It was a two position.
I knew you ran the switchboard, but I didn't know it was AP Green.
Yeah. Well, my first job, when I had no aspirations to go to college whatsoever. I was like, once I get out of high school, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm
done.
So I went to work for the telephone office. Well, when you're a newbie there, you had to work the worst shifts, the 3 to 11, 1 to 10, or the split shifts where you work in the morning and then come back in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
So after about 2 years of that, AT&T went on strike, and we were supposed to honor their strike for one day. Well, that one day I went out and applied at the employment office.
Uh-huh.
Just, I knew I wasn't going to get employment, but anyway, I just put my name in the hat, and by golly, I got a call from AP Green. They needed a switchboard operator. It's a two-position switchboard, and then there's a teletype machine.
Right.
That's the days, again, before anything, you know.
Right.
And that's where we met.
Yep.
That's so cool.
Anyway, and I'll have to say, we both had kind of crumbling marriages that were not good.
Yeah.
And that's how we met. And so then when we married, we had big aspirations. We were going to go somewhere. We were going to move around the country. And I thought that's what I really, really wanted to do.
Right.
I wanted him to go up in the company, become vice president, you know, and blah, blah, blah.
It wasn't what she wanted to do.
After we moved to Ohio, Columbus, I got work at the A.B. Dick Company, and I was in their accounting department.
Right.
And he was still with A.P. Green. They had an office there, and he was a salesman for them. Then we moved to Saginaw, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
And there, we bought a house in Ohio.
Went up one day.
Bought a house.
And looked around and bought a house. That
wow. That
day. And tell them about, you know, I told you, I tend to be kind of bulletproof sometimes. I can do anything.
Right.
Well, we bought this house, and because I could get out of the Army, so I get a GI loan.
Right.
And thank God for that, because that's the way we
end up getting
our
house.
The
right.
house. And we applied for the loan,
mm-hmm.
and we told AP Green what we're doing, because I had to tell them the loan company exactly how much I made and all that.
Right.
And they, where was I going with that?
Well, in the meantime, his ex-wife decided that she wasn't getting enough money. right?
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted to up her payment every month.
Right.
And the previous time when we went back to Missouri to see Eric, who lived in Paris, she wouldn't let us see him.
Huh.
We're back here from another two states away, and she won't let us see him. So we hold up the money that month.
Right.
We're not sending the money. You know, you don't let us see him.
Oh.
So she calls AP Green.
Oh, no.
And wants his wage card machine. And so Green's called and said, we don't want to do that. You know,
right.
What do you need to do to fix this? And so we got a hold of the, it wasn't prosecuting attorney's office, but the, I'm trying to think which office takes care of that over there, but at the courthouse.
Right.
And we said, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll start sending you the check so that you know when you received it, you can record it, and you'll know that we have paid every month and that she can't say we haven't paid.
Right.
So we were in the wrong on that, but she wouldn't let us see them.
Right,
which
right.
wasn't right either. So that's what we did. Well, the thing happened to her that's kind of funny is they charged her $10 a month to have it come through that way for their handling it. And plus it delayed her check about 10 days.
Oh, my goodness.
We really hated
we
that.
We hated that when that happened.
Oh,
so
man.
I really felt bad about that.
Just unfortunate.
Well, and then the deal about, I think what you were going for about the house was when we shared with them what we made and it didn't, when you're in Missouri, things are a lot cheaper, but when you're living in another state, sometimes
it's not so good. Yeah.
So it wasn't going to work for us.
It didn't add up.
Right. He had to get a pay raise in order to be able to get this house.
So I called AP Green here in Mexico, and
said,
I told them the situation, and they said, well, how much would you have to make? And I told them about what it was, and said, well, that's what you make now.
Oh, my goodness. So, that's so cool.
So they really took care of us at AP Green until you've been there 29 and a half years. We've told
right.
everybody that story.
Yeah. I mean, Alice hasn't heard it, but.
Well, he worked there 29 and a half years for this company.
Mm-hmm.
And we made all these moves for them. We moved to Ohio, we moved to Michigan, we came back to St. Louis, and eventually back to Mexico where the home office is. And over this time, the last number of years, they hired in people that didn't even know what refractories really required or what their, you know, they were hiring people from the glass industry and different industries, and
right.
it just got confuddled. And so anyway, they start losing money, so then they're going to start, okay, you're gone,
yeah.
you're gone. And that's what happened to him after 29 and a half years. So,
And this is what I think was dirty.
Uh-huh.
Just flat dirty. They were going to do inventory. Well, I
was... Before the let you go.
And that's where they gather up a bunch of the people that work in the plant and...
Count the brick.
They count everything in the place.
Right.
And there's lots of stuff in that. There's...
Right.
Probably 80 different kinds of brick
right.
alone.
Yeah.
Not to mention the castables and stuff like that. And so they were going to do that on a
Sunday.
And nobody said anything to me about it. Except I thought, well, you know, I went to church that day.
Yeah, and you taught Sunday school.
And taught Sunday school.
But he's a salaried person. He really didn't have to do this.
No,
he just
salaried.
People didn't have to go
do
and
that.
Help.
Right.
And but anyway, I told them, I said, well, I'll come and help, but I'm going
right.
to go to church first. So
right.
I went to church, and then I went there, counted inventory, you know, with the other people.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how long it was.
Until
it was mostly,
supper time. Until supper
yeah,
time.
Like supper time.
Mm-hmm.
And I come home, and the next day, they tell me that I'm
let go.
They call it downsizing. They don't say you're fired. We're
right.
downsizing.
Right. The effect is the same.
And
yeah.
I didn't have to do that.
Right.
And they some of the people probably knew tomorrow was his last day. Maybe a few knew it. Maybe not everybody.
Right, right, right.
So that was a dirty deal.
Yeah.
Well, I see we're going. Have you still got time on this thing?
Actually, we can do another one.
Yeah.
So we'll close this one and we'll do one more.